Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Jim Gaffey. I'm standing in for Eileen Jevis today. I work with her up at University College at Syracuse University. I wanted to thank all of you for coming out today in spite of the weather and the road conditions here. We're excited to have our guest today, David Holder, President of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over and introduce Marika Trier, who's the Executive Director of the Downtown Committee of Syracuse. So ladies and gentlemen, Marika Trier.
Good morning, everybody. Say, we are certainly hardy, so we had no problem getting here this morning. today I have the pleasure of introducing one of the most passionate, talented, and creative leaders in our community, plus a very good friend as well, so it makes it extra special. From a slight southern drawl to a love of cheese grits, you'll quickly recognize that David Holder did not grow up in central New York. He may not be a native, but he's definitely one of our biggest cheerleaders. A love of the outdoors, weather, he's loving this day, great food, and overall quality of life drive David's passion for the Syracuse area. He translates that love into a killer brand for Visit Syracuse, which is one of six accredited destination marketing organizations in New York State, leading the effort to Do Your Thing, which is our regional tourism brand. This amplifies awareness for Syracuse for convention planners, sporting event organizers, and leisure visitors from around the world. Prior to joining Visit Syracuse, David directed the tourism and economic development efforts for the city of Fredericksburg, Virginia, led the Steuben County Conference and Visitor Bureau in Corning, New York, and conducted community-based strategic planning for the Texas Tourism Division. He earned both a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Science in Tourism Management from North Carolina State University. Please join me in welcoming David Holder, President of Visit Syracuse.
So usually in like a situation like this, the person who introduces it walks away with nothing, so we have. And there's one other group that I've got to acknowledge here, and you're going to have to fight over this, but these brave people at the front table, I'm going to go ahead and award you. So the reason I'm giving you a prize now is because when I give presentations, you never really know what's going to happen, and things fly. And so if one of you gets injured during the presentation, this is just to make up for that. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about tourism and what's going on in tourism. It seems like it's a hot topic all, certainly in our area, all across our state, and throughout our country right now. And I got good news to start out with. Tourism's growing. It's been growing ever since the recession. It's actually outpacing virtually every other part of the economy because we all like to travel. We all like to get out. It's almost become this, we're empowered to go out and travel and explore and find new things to see and do. So I've always learned one of the basic laws of presenting: say what you would say for the end, say it right up front. So here we go. Anybody know who this guy is? Dr. Evil. What's his famous line? Anybody? Someone out there has seen the Austin Powers movie. Come on. Let's say, Patty, what is it? $1 billion. So here's what we're saying. By 2020, Syracuse, Onondaga County, tourism will actually be generating $1 billion for our local economy. That is a wow statement because we got a ways to grow. Right now, we're at $850 million in terms of what tourism is generating for our local economy. That means between now and 2020, we've got to see 17% growth. And I think it's possible. We've been averaging about 3 to 4% a year. I think we can do it because we've got some big things happening. Let me go into some of those. So the first one, we've made a huge leap. In the last 4 years, we've gone from being a transient destination, a largely business travel destination, into a leisure destination. Now, why is that important? If you're transient, people are going through you. They're going to get to somewhere else. You're not the end part of what they're going to. If you're a business travel destination, you're known for, you know, good businesses. You're known for good venues. If you're a leisure destination, you still capture all of that, but people are coming to visit you because of what you are. They're coming to visit Syracuse and Onondaga County and Central New York because of what we offer for them. There's something compelling about that. There's something really enriching about that. So the fact that we have gone and emerged as a leisure destination is an enormous movement for you. I can't tell you how big that is. It makes everything else a little easier. People are coming from all over the country and all over Canada also. They're even coming from all around the world. But you see how dense the population is that's coming into, you know, certainly largely in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, largely in Ontario, but we're just seeing this growth happen. We're seeing that the things that people are doing, those activities, fall right in line with some of the best destinations. You know, you want to see dining, shopping, and sightseeing, usually in the top three or four of the activities people are doing when they come to your community. The one that's emerged is that driving and sightseeing. That was never there in any of the past visitor research we've done. That says we're moving into a leisure destination. Same thing for all these other trip purposes. It's matching up with what those benchmark communities, those aspirational communities that we look at and we go, why can't we do like they are? It's matching up perfectly with them. Here's one reason why. And if you think of this place as your regional mall or just the mall, it's time to rethink things. Here's why. Because it's not the regional mall anymore. This is actually an anchor institution drawing people to our community. And they're drawing them here because of attractions. They're drawing them here because of the mix that Destin USA provides. Has anyone heard of the Summer Fun Day Pass or now the Winter Fun Day Pass? It's a great deal. And here's why it's a great deal. It combines a lot of different attractions in one, and we're seeing it grow. So this summer, it's actually expanded. You bought Summer Fun Day Pass. It actually included a ticket to the state fair. So here's what it did. Year-over-year sales were up 30%. That's huge. Usually you might see something in the maybe 5 to 10% range, 30% increase in year-over-year sales. 62% of the people who bought the Summer Fun Day Pass came from outside 50 miles. Now, who can tell me what's important about that? Oh, my gosh. I'm running out of things here. If you travel 50 miles or more, you're considered a tourist. That's the definition. You made that mark. So 62% of the buyers for the Summer Fun Day Pass came from outside 50 miles. They were visitors to our community. Quite possibly, they spent the night, they did other things, spent a lot of money while they were here. Now, of those people who bought them, so I told you they state fair, a pass to the state fair came with this. 47% of the people who bought the Summer Fun Day Pass returned for the state fairgrounds, for the state fair. That's huge. That means they, in most cases, they came to visit, and then they came back to visit again for the fair. And you can see those little red dots, they're all over the place. These are people who are traveling. So why is that important for us? Well, one of the number one purposes, and it's been like this for a long time, number one purpose of travel for our region, visiting friends and relatives. We encourage you, find your friends, find your relatives, invite them to come to visit, and tell them about all these great things that are going on here. People are looking for more and more entertainment. That's one reason that the Lakeview Amphitheater was so successful in its opening season. This is one of my favorite pictures, by the way. You can see it like forms a little heart. Like, oh, I love the Lakeview Amphitheater. When we were originally doing the projections for this, we were projecting 18 events. We were projecting a total population or a number of spectators around 142,000. and about $25 million in terms of what they would spend throughout our community because they were coming to events at the amphitheater. Reality, 200,000 tickets sold. Close to $50 million, or over $50 million in actual spending coming into our community because we were seeing more people come from outside the community. The projections, it went from 89% what we were projecting as local or regional spectators actually showed up. 15% were coming from Canada. Now take that in. 15% of the visitors coming in were coming from Canada. That's huge. Our Canadian guests love when events come into Syracuse. They will drive down every single time. We've seen this with the Landmark Theater. We've seen this with the Amphitheater. Our entertainment venues are draws for people out of Canada. Now, how do we know the performances were so impactful? We looked at year-over-year hotel numbers. Typically, on nights when there was a concert in place, we were seeing an 11% jump in hotel performance year-over-year, comparing the same night. In fact, if it was a Sunday or Monday night concert, those shifts were usually in the 20 to 30% range because we don't have a lot of entertainment events going on Sunday nights or Monday nights. The amphitheater pumped new money into this community. And it's just beautiful. And it's been getting rave reviews across the country for how gorgeous the site is. Let's talk about the New York State Fair, or more importantly, the New York State Fair grounds. We love it that we get over 1 million people this past August for the actual state fair. I get concerned about the other 352 days of the year. 352 days a year, we've got other things that can happen with that state fairgrounds. The most obvious one, we talk about this a lot, is Syracuse Nationals. We get a lot of car enthusiasts here. You want to talk about people who know how to do their thing? These folks do. But we can do more. In fact, one of the great things about the expansion that the state fairgrounds did with taking the Midway away, taking the grandstands away, it actually expanded the amount of participants that could come in for Syracuse Nationals. Now we've seen that actually grow close by 10% this year. It can grow even more in the future. And this is an event that draws about 80,000 people into our community. One of those things that we're seeing come in with the new state fairgrounds now is this great event between April and June being brought to our community by Advanced Media Group. We are one of 10 places in the entire country to host the Chinese Lantern Festival. It's going to be an incredible event. It's going to light up at night. I urge every single one of you to go out and see it. And then invite your friends and relatives and make them spend the night and take out their wallets and shake out all their money and then go home. But it's not just about things to do. It's about our taste. The craft beverage movement is going on across the country. It's going on around the world. But it is so pivotal to what's going on here in Central New York. I can't talk enough about it. It has attracted this is one example, enormous levels of press attention because we're growing our own hops, we're producing our own beers, ciders, distilled beverages, wines. We have an incredible food and beverage movement going on in Central New York, and it's something that we're getting a reputation for. In fact, there was this past summer, there was actually an article that came out, top affordable destinations for 2016. Syracuse was number 8 in a list that was around the world. We were there with places like San Francisco, places like, I think it was Puerto Vallarta, places all across the world. We're right there in the mix. And the one statement they said about us was a incredible food movement. Think about that. That's our community. That's something we can be proud of. And it makes me actually hungry to think about it. So why is all this coming together? Well, when we talk to our visitors about what drives them and what do they think about our area, the emotions they feel, I want you to, what's the biggest word up there? Variety. We're not another New York. You know, New York destinations have had it pretty easy. They've been able to build brands around these iconic geological assets, the Finger Lakes, Niagara Falls, the Adirondacks, the Thousand Islands. We don't have that. We have a little taste of this and a little taste of that, but we have incredible variety. And we know how to stage that variety that it makes everyone feel very welcome, and they feel like, hey, they just provided a stage for me to do my thing. Which is how we ended up with Do Your Thing. And surprisingly, Do Your Thing's a pretty well-known statement. No one's ever trademarked this until now. We did it. So one of the other factors that we have, this is my car gauge. I think it was that polar vortex year. We had a group that was talking about that earlier this morning. Negative 12. Now, I'm at a stoplight when I see this, and I'm like, I have to take a picture of that. Because we were doing visitor research that day to people on the streets of Syracuse and Skinny Atlas to ask them about the emotions they feel when they're in Syracuse. They all somehow, for some reason, mentioned the cold. But then they started talking about all these incredible emotions they feel when they come here, the things that the memories they go home with. And it pulled out these 8 lines. It helped us. This is who we are. We're tranquil and we're active and we're cheerful and we're trustworthy. People, we just got this great movement in this national ranking as a community that's a great place to live, because we're just so stable. People like stability. I don't like random. Don't hit me with a bunch of random stuff. We don't do that in Syracuse. We're about stability. In all, this variety just creates so many different avenues for us. It enables us to go out. We're really big in going after travel journalists, getting them to talk about our community. It's all about creating a buzz right now. Getting destination writers to write about how we're a family destination, that's an enormous movement for us because it's one part of that overall message. So we're all about pushing to get other places talking about what's going on in Syracuse. Did you know that we have a championship level rowing course on Onondaga Lake? Peggy and Linda do, right? This is a great investment by Onondaga County. It's actually enabled us to bring in these style of events. We love to eat, but we also love to go out and do things, so which is probably a good makeup for the eating. We're one of the top 10 destinations for fitness-related events. Let that sink in as you eat another Danish. Top 10 fitness-related events. The Ironman 70.3 has been coming here. I think we're in our year number 6 now. It's a huge event. Brings in over $1 million to our community every single June. 2018, now you want to talk about people who like Danishes. We love our bowlers. They're coming back in 2018, and they're going to bring 70,000 people into our community between February and July. 70,000 people. Every single day, another 400 people arrive. That's economic impact. We're familiar with this. We've had Ed Riley here for Thursday Morning Roundtable talking about the transformation of the Hotel Syracuse into the Marriott Downtown Syracuse. This hotel has been helping change perceptions. You can see it's just beautiful. But it's actually helped us go after a different style of convention for our community. You see how important education is. We've been able to match up the conventions that we're pursuing with the assets of our community. And what a great example than the UTM conference that was here back in November. These were people who basically design the air traffic control systems that will keep us from running into drones, which is pretty important. Similarly, In September, we're going to be hosting the 2017 World Canals Conference. These are canal enthusiasts, another group that likes to do their thing. They're coming in from around the world into Syracuse to celebrate not only the Erie Canal, and not only Syracuse, but the 200th anniversary of the start of construction on the Erie Canal. There's a great story that we're going to be able to build on for many years to come. And that Erie Canal comes right, we have historical parts of it, we have modern parts of it. It just received another national park designation. This is a huge story for us. When we look at basically where people are staying, we see how important our hotels and motels are for creating those overnight stays and generating those overnight stays. In fact, in most cases, if you're a leisure guest, you're staying 3 days in our area. That's big. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of shaking out of the wallets. We've talked about hotel growth. You've seen plenty of hotels pop up in our community. In fact, by 2019, we will have added 16% to our inventory from where we were in 2012. Some people get really worried when they see that, particularly if you're in the hotel business. But the reality of that is it's been happening everywhere. No one in these other communities has been sitting around waiting for Syracuse to get a convention center hotel, waiting for us to build things. They've been building things like crazy, too. They have all across the country. So we have to stay competitive. We have to realize we aren't competing against others in our own region. We're competing against others throughout the rest of the country, throughout the rest of the state, throughout the rest of the world. Visitors have a choice on where they go. We want to make Syracuse and Central New York their choice. The way we do that, and this is instrumental in our strategic plan, the way we do that is we have to disrupt things. We have to differentiate ourselves. There are too many similarities across the Thruway, even across the what's formerly known as the Rust Belt. Too many similarities. Our job is to separate ourselves. And I want to bring out that second statement. We got to figure out where the problems are. Everything I've presented, really good news. There are some chinks in the armor, though. Our visitor satisfaction rate's pretty good. People usually express, yeah, that lived up to my expectations, or it surpassed it a little bit. We're a little soft in the business and conference side, though, and we can go higher. I'm really comfortable with this if it's more like 4.4, 4.5 out of a 5-point scale. I'd rather be about on that 4.5 scale and higher. So we got some work to do on the experience. We also have some work to do on our visitors. So one of the things that stands out, we see an older style traveler. Now that's great for us. Older style travelers spend a lot of money. But what's concerning is where's the next range of travelers we're going to draw into our community? The other piece of this that is a little alarming. And you look at this and it goes, wow, we got a lot of repeat visitors. That's good. Until you realize we don't get a lot of new visitors. That's bad. Our challenge then is if our marketplace is mature and saturated. In other words, we've hit that 2-hour and in drive element, we've hit that hard. They know us. They recognize they're really thrilled with what we're doing here. We can't depend on that for the future. We've got to step out, be bold, and take on some challenges. Our biggest effort from a tourism development point of view right now is to stand out from anybody else. Take on things. Find those opportunities, like a do your thing, that are sitting right there in people's grasp, but no one's grabbed it. That's one of our greatest assets, is recognizing these disruptive opportunities. The greatest disruptive opportunity we have is not where that peak is in July and August. It's actually where those dips are. November, December, January, February, March. Anyone see a common theme there? Look outside. So I'm all about stealing ideas. I talked to my friends at the zoo today. I encourage theft. Theft is good. I want to steal an idea from Fort Lauderdale. When it gets like this outside, Fort Lauderdale actually packages up their sunny personalities, and they go to places like Boston and New York, Chicago, and they talk about how wonderful it is to be in the sun in Fort Lauderdale and how horrible it is to be in the snow and the cold. I'm tired of it. In fact, this statement just makes me sick. They say, "We woke up this morning to a gorgeous sunny day. We'll just beat the next storm to Boston." They actually had to cancel a marketing opportunity to Boston because Boston had too much snow. Wah. I feel bad for those people. Yeah, give me a break. You know, there's a market opportunity for us to attack this mentality. Get the milk, get the bread, get the toilet paper. It's going to snow. You know, this is a grocery store aisle, the bread aisle in a grocery store in Atlanta, Georgia, when they got hit with an inch of snow. This is the dairy aisle. Look at this. We sell out of bread, we sell out of milk. Oh my gosh, the world's going to end. We sell out of beer. You know, we have an opportunity to teach the rest of the world some valuable lessons about how to deal with winter. No one does it better. We get out and ski. We go ice skating. We drink coffee and sit around and chat with our friends because they got out and enjoyed the snow. We go see this guy screaming, and we join in with the screaming. We go shopping. We eat, and because our food is so good. We have these incredible people that drive these incredible trucks and clear the snow out of our way so we can get on with our lives and go have some fun. We win the Golden Snowball Award. Absolutely. That deserves some applause. In fact, we really need to get away from this idea of four seasons. It's too complicated. Life is too complicated. We need to make things simple. We're going to winter and not winter. We love not winter. I'm not a summer basher. I'm not an autumn basher. But I am a winter lover. And to become a winter lover, we got to recognize it is one of our most valuable assets. So let's make it prominent. How do we do that? Well, we get really crazy with some ideas. We proclaim ourselves the official home of winter. Now, why is that great? Because no one else has done it. Once we've proclaimed it, and we've trademarked it. Once we've proclaimed it, no one else can take it away. Let them try, because we'll argue every asset. We actually have assets maps that show how much winter we have. We created a character. Guess what his name is? Winter. Has anyone seen these? We have 9 videos so far. A whole new set is on its way, showing Winter enjoying his great destination. The videos have been viewed like crazy, and we're pushing them out there. We moved Winter into Syracuse by way of a moving van. We hosted journalists. Look at this. Huffington Post. Syracuse, New York, the official home of winter, and a beautiful article about our winter assets. John Mariani is one of the most, he irritates everyone. This travel journalist for Esquire magazine, this article about Syracuse is one of the nicest, kindest articles we've ever seen. We hosted Peter Greenberg. He's talking about the Harriet Tubman movement with the National Park. He interviewed our local history people. It was great. We took winter on February 2nd. Anybody know what day that is? What better day to take winter to a national media event in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and talk about Syracuse? We were there cheering for 6 more weeks. We got interviewed by Jim Cantore for the Weather Channel. We're forming partnerships. In fact, this one, partnership with the Salvation Army, launches on the 15th. To actually battle some of the challenges we see during the winter months. Do a snow angel. Challenge a few people, Janet, Patty, Minch, do a snow angel. donate some money to the Salvation Army. It's that easy. We think it's going to have some incredible results for the Salvation Army, and it pushes the official Home of Winter out there. More is on the way. We've targeted meteorologists in key cities, and we're sending them take care of winter kits. Now, what are these? These are basically what you're going to need to take care of winter when he comes to visit you, because we want him back safe and sound. He might visit Charlotte, Washington. He's down in New York City right now, but he always comes home to Syracuse, and we need to celebrate that. What about conventions? Well, we've got incredible convention incentives. If you have a convention between November and March, we want it to come to Syracuse because we can put it on, we can show you a great time, and we've got these great incentives to draw those kind of events into town. We are the official Home of Winter. We need as much help as we can get in pushing that out there. A few of these on the table. This is our official Home of Winter guide produced by Syracuse Media Group. Stan has done a great job for us on that. We welcome anyone to grab hold of this and push it out there. It's a great thing. We're seeing a great buzz from it. So thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, David. Take some questions now. I see Sarah has her hand up already.
As a person who was raised in rural winter in Michigan, one of the things I also enjoyed, which is illegal to do in the city of Syracuse, is sledding. Would the Travel Bureau be willing to join some citizens in a civil display and have a sledding program at like Thornton Park?
You know what? We have actually talked about some of those aspects of where we are with winter and some of the needs like sledding. We actually want Winter to actually, our friend Winter, we'll actually get him involved in the movement. So one of the things that's really come out from this is we've gotten a lot of national publications calling us. The USA Today called us, and they wanted some specific examples of places that were adopting the official Home of Winter tag and how we were making that come to life. So we're seeing this movement. Now that we've got the marketing message out there, we need to have the experience behind it. And there is no more important experience than making certain that we are legally allowing as much winter activity to happen throughout our region. So I'm definitely on board.
David, you mentioned that you get articles placed in the travel journals and things like that. Would there be a way that your staff could send those links out to us and then we could retweet them and send them out on our Facebook page to get people really proud of where we live?
I love that idea. We'll definitely do that. We'll definitely get those out there. In fact, one of the things we actually just talked about this yesterday, so perfect timing. We've had, in the last 6 months especially, we've had so much press attention, blog attention. We need to go back and actually compile everything that's happened and give out some examples. So there's a lot coming your way. And there's been some really good mentions of the zoo in that, too. You guys have been fabulous to work with.
Hi. What a great presentation. It was really interesting. And I love that it's making what's always been thought of as a negative thing of winter into a positive thing. What I see mostly in the summer, people's biggest complaint whenever we have a great event is the traffic, is leaving places. How do you use the same concept and make it somehow a positive thing that you're stuck in traffic on the way out of someplace?
I think one of the first things we can do is show the traffic everywhere else and realize, it's really not so bad here. I think you're exactly right. Where we've had success is when we flip the model and we've said, winter's not a negative for us, it's an asset for us. The fact that we're drawing in some of these great entertainment opportunities and the fact that we're seeing the success of Blues Fest and the success of Syracuse Nationals, and it creates, you know, these traffic challenges. I'm not even sure we've moved to the point where any of those are traffic problems, but they're traffic challenges. It's actually, we need to think about it from, as residents, we need to think about that from the sense of, that just saved me tax dollars. In fact, the tourism success that we're seeing right now is creating about $600 in tax savings for each household in Onondaga County. So if we ever want to reverse the thinking, we're going to think about how much tax advantages those cars are creating for the rest of the community.
I think we all feel they should show a little bit more passion for Central New York.
I'll work on that.
Okay. I have a question regarding the new development across the street from the convention center, the $150 million buildings that are going to go in there. How do you think that will affect what goes on in the convention center?
I'm really not sure yet. We are one of the pieces that we've got to take a look at is the impact that has long term. The Marriott has made convention business kind of think about Syracuse in a different way, but we're still without a convention center hotel. You see that list of other places that I put up there? Albany is adding a convention center, opens next month. They've already added a convention center hotel that opened back in the fall. We know we're losing business. We've already seen it. We've lost business to Albany. The casinos have now started opening this new round of casinos. We've lost business already. It hasn't even opened. It opens today. We've already lost business to Schenectady. So no one is waiting for us to make the right decision, but they're definitely waiting for us to make the wrong decision. And I think we've got to really study this and make certain that it prepares us for the future and that we still need a connected hotel to our convention center.
I have possibly two questions. First one, are you giving any consideration to things that are very unique about Syracuse? For example, we have an Indian culture that we don't treat with very much respect. We have possibilities for such things as maybe arboretums, or we're a center for glaciation. You have visitors who want to, in effect, examine and study the issues associated with glaciation. We're a natural area for that. And the last one I have here is Onondaga Lake. I don't think we're really doing, I may be wrong on this, but I don't think Onondaga Lake is reaching its potential. You realize there are communities around the country that would give their ITs for a lake such as close to a metropolitan area. So I don't think we're utilizing it very well. I thought the amphitheater was a great advance in trying to at least develop the west side of Onondaga Lake, which has been poorly organized and presented over the years. It's almost like it's too bad we have the lake here. At one time, it was a real center as far as the local economy was concerned. Can you respond to that?
I can respond to that by saying you are exactly right. Everything you listed there is a complete asset for us. And we talked about differentiation earlier in the presentation. Each of those aspects is something that allows us to differentiate ourselves from the competition. It's all about competition. If we, in our world, in the world we live in terms of tourism, it's not about, oh, package this because it's the nice thing to do, or package that because it makes a lot of sense. It's all about how do we stand out against the competition. So I use the example of our Onondaga Nation and the heritage there. That heritage is so strong, and telling visitors from Germany about that, that's one of the biggest things that inspire. They want to learn about that. It's almost a bigger movement in other international marketplaces than our own. So we're looking for ways to always find and put those messages in front of people. One of the slides I didn't include here is how the lake has actually become the connecting point. You know, we used to have a destination that was, all right, we get some activity on University Hill, we get some activity in downtown, we get some activity out by Destin USA. The lake has been that point now that connects it all together, and it's changed the mentality of our community. When the lake started to come back to life, you saw a little bit of a pretty big blanket thrown over some of the negativity around our community, and it's been awesome. So we push the lake as much as we possibly can.
Hi, I'd like to go back, not surprised, to the economic data. So the economic resources that come into the community have a multiplier effect on our local economy. Is that correct?
That is correct. Unless we do actual research on what the multiplier effect is, you're never going to hear me quote a multiplier effect. I believe in them,
yep.
But I don't like to quote them without hard data behind them.
But, I mean, assuming a multiplier effect has an effect, that economic data that you presented doesn't include the multiplier effect.
Correct. That's
so we can assume that whether it's two jobs for every one job or 2.5 jobs, there is some multiplier effect that would increase even the impact that you've shown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. What the figures I showed there, in fact, the movement towards $1 billion is direct travel spending.
Do we currently have any conventions in the wine and the beer industry?
Absolutely. Next month, we're hosting the Eastern Winery Expo. It's not a public event, but they're a trade show and a conference, educational conference, for those individuals in the winery business. So they're looking at things like kegs and they're look or not kegs, but barrels, casks. Thank you. They're looking at you know any equipment that the wine industry needs to kind of move things forward. You see a lot of the distributors come through, but you also see a lot of the manufacturers come through. So we also do a lot of tasting events. We have a community that tends to like tasting events too.
I'm wondering about the Salt Museum. When I was a child, my mother used to always take us out there. As a Girl Scout, we made salt packets to take to Girl Scout Roundup. Yet you never hear anything about it. Does it still exist? Maybe it's, and I think it's an interesting part of Syracuse that is lost.
You know, a few years ago, we hosted Man vs. Food in Syracuse. Anyone remember that show? Adam Richman was the host. So if you haven't seen the show, it's this guy, he comes into your community. He is a competitive eater, so he's like takes some kind of eating challenge. I think he had to consume a 3-pound frittata or something like that. It was ridiculous. The piece he wanted to visit most was the Salt Museum. And it shows that there's a certain element to our nation's history that came out of that museum. That Syracuse and the Erie Canal wouldn't exist if it weren't for salt. That still definitely exists. It's still very much a part of Onondaga Lake Park. We're out there pushing it to others in other communities. And I think if there's a discover guide for the county parks out in the lobby, you should be able to see it listed in there pretty heavily too.
Hi, David. Good morning. Hey, and all your data that you brought up, how does Syracuse University impact some of that data, like parent visits, stuff like that?
We have, in fact, you could see this in the convention data that we saw up there, and it's pretty similar number. Syracuse University is actually responsible for about 10% of the total visitation through our community. It's a big number, and it crosses a bunch of different lines. It's our spectators going to some of the athletic events. It's parents coming in for Parents Weekend. It's new students coming in and exploring and deciding if this is where they want to go to school. It's a lot of business travel associated with it, a lot of conferences that come in associated with it, too. And we're going to see it with the mega movement with the veterans facility there. We're going to see a lot more happen because of the university.
My second question that I mentioned earlier, the ROT tax, the room occupancy tax.
Which is fantastic, by the way.
Pardon?
It was fantastic. Room occupancy tax is the best tax we have.
Well, my question, though, is are we using it and getting the best bang for the buck, or is it being used for other purposes by the county legislature?
I would be remiss if I didn't say that we need to have as much room occupancy tax in the banks of Visit Syracuse as possible, but it's being used very, very well. We actually, our county funds our convention center with that. We fund a lot of our local arts with that. We fund all of these marketing messages that you see are funded through that. County legislature and the county executive does a really smart job with the county room occupancy tax. And I don't just say that because you have a legislator at your table, but it helped. At one time, that was a big expense. Building a convention center is not a cheap endeavor. We've been able to move past that, and there's still most convention centers, the mass majority of convention centers around the country, around the world, have to have some level of public subsidy for them. So we're always going to see some element of that room occupancy tax. In fact, I think it was like 1991, the actual tax was increased to help pay for that convention center. So it's a smart use for that, and one that you see in most places around the country.
Thank you, David. It's nice to see you here. I have a kind of an odd question that one is about the range of people that are driving currently to our area and the conditions of roads in the surrounding area and how that impacts the visitors' experience. And then on the flip side, given that through my work, I'm working with a lot of younger people who don't care about cars, how do we address both so that the visitors' experience is enhanced?
Oh, I love that question. All right, so the two different answers there, that was technically two questions in one. First one, I think we went back to our overall visitor rating is around 4.3. We can do better than that. One of several things that is routinely rated low on our overall visitor satisfaction scores, wayfinding, signage, they don't necessarily rate us on cleanliness, but I think if we were to ask it directly, I think they would. If there's a blessing out there, we're seen as one of those communities that it does have some cleanliness problems, because when this melts, you never know what you're going to find in the melt. You know, some treasure might be there. But what the reality of it is we've got to do, and you've seen so many different movements that have talked about this, but we've got to figure out a systematic operation for keeping our streets clean, moving the trash that we see away, putting it away, just making it a routine operation. We're not there yet. We also have to see some really good signage throughout our region. The more we can connect these great visitors, you know, we talked about Onondaga Lake. Onondaga Lake has been that great connector. But being able to clearly see signage that shows me how to go from the state fairgrounds to the amphitheater to Destiny USA to the Inner Harbor to the airport to the stadium to downtown, through downtown to the university, we don't have that connector yet. So we've got to get there. And we still have to recognize automobile transport is the number one way people are getting to Syracuse and the number one way they're getting around Syracuse. But what I think we're seeing, and I like it when we start talking about I-81 as an opportunity to reinvent travel through our region, not just travel on the highway, but travel through other modes of transportation. You know, one of the greatest benefits of the connective corridor through downtown, through the University Hill area, was the addition of the bike paths. It just sent a very clear message of, we've got other ways to get around now. We had success with the U.S. Bowling Congress when they were here 2011 for the Women's Bowling Championships. They brought a lot of people in the community, and we brought the organizers of the event back 6 months later when we started pitching for the next big event that we wanted to come in. In that six-month time period, they walked in and they said, we were just here 6 months ago, and things like bike lanes, they weren't open. What happened? What happened in 6 months? And they were amazed about how much that had transformed our community. It's one of the reasons that we were able to land the 2018 event was how much change we had created in a very short amount of time since they left. So we've got to look at more ways to encourage different styles of transportation, because people are wanting it nowadays.
David, I just wanted to let you know that I pushed my winter vacation back to not winter this year. Waited till after the spring starts.
I think that's great, because you wanted every moment of winter you could get. I encourage that of all of us. Spend as much money in the local community as you can during the winter months, and then go somewhere else for the other part of the year. Let's do reverse thinking. It's all about reverse thinking.
All right. Thank you very much, David. Thanks for your time today. Thank you all very much.